Within the health department, the Division of Children, Youth, and Families takes up a small amount of funding, but this budget cycle, DCYF is getting a lot of attention. Adam Steele of Amherst has been a foster parent for 5 years. DCYF sends him kids who have no place else to go.
We've had 30 children in our home so far, boys, girls, infants, toddlers, teenagers, as short as a weekend, as long as a year in some cases. All of our 30 kids, except for maybe two or three, were drug-related in one way or another.
A recent outside review concluded the state was not doing enough to protect kids who are abused and neglected. And much of the problem had to do with money, not enough staff at DCYF, leading to overburdened caseworkers and insufficient training. In the years after the recession, the legislature made deep cuts to child protective services. Funding has risen since then, but not to earlier levels. Dimitrios Tsaros is a DCYF caseworker, although he does not speak on behalf of the agency. Tsaros says more money will mean more staff, but even that's not a quick fix.
Now the challenge becomes to recruit the staff that you need. And then once you've recruited them, are you able to retain them?
Hiring and retaining staff will be DCYF's job if it gets the increased funding from state budget writers. Those budget writers also have their eyes on a projected $66 million hole at the health department. That mostly stems from off-target predictions 2 years ago about demand for Medicaid. This year, lawmakers are hoping to get that number right. For NHPR, I'm Jack Rodolico.
And I'm Todd Bookman. One of the least controversial topics during the gubernatorial race between Sununu and Democrat Colin Van Ostern was the state's infrastructure needs. Both candidates campaigned on larger investments in roads and in tackling the so-called red list bridges, 150 structures identified as being in severe disrepair. But to be clear, this isn't an area that previous administrations have completely ignored.
Well, the big picture is right now we're keeping up with the needs.
That's Regina Birdsell. She chairs the state Senate's Transportation Committee and says New Hampshire has a history of making prudent moves, such as the widening of Interstate 93 and plans to build a new exit in Londonderry.
Those are already in the process, but what I want to make sure is that we continue to have the money in the budget for the red listed bridges and any other major projects that come down the pike.
The Department of Transportation says an additional $47 million annually would help it stay on top of bridge and road repairs. But the gas tax, which raises money for infrastructure projects, was raised by 4 cents in 2014, and it likely won't be touched in Sununu's budget proposal. Either will commuter rail, which the governor staunchly opposes. Still, advocates like Nashua State Senator Betty Lasky will push for more study of rail during budget negotiations.
I think that we are going to be clearly left behind if we don't move on and provide some public transportation for our citizens.
She says rail is a smart way to attract younger residents to the state. Sununu calls it a $300 million boondoggle. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.
And I'm Emily Corwin with a look at the Department of Corrections piece of the state budget pie. There are 2,700 prison inmates and parolees in New Hampshire. To oversee these people, state taxpayers are spending $112 million this year. Next year, the Department of Corrections is asking for another $10 million, mostly for staffing.
You've heard me speak to this many times in the last couple of years. About the challenges that we're having with our overtime and trying to manage our facilities.
Every year, Corrections Commissioner Bill Wren tells budget writers the same thing. He just can't attract enough correctional officers. Over the past 10 years, the number of inmates has grown by 8%, while the number of prison guards has shrunk by 25%. This means crews are being forced to work double, even triple shifts. Last year, the DOC spent an unprecedented $9 million on overtime. Now, Wren recently told the House Finance Committee he wants to hire a full-time recruiting specialist and bump up his salary and benefits line item by nearly $10 million. If enough new hires are made, he says, overtime costs would drop.
Our salary side, you'll see the salary numbers back up there where they should be, and our overtime numbers coming back down.
Along with staffing, Corrections is also looking at costs from the opiate epidemic. The department hopes the next state budget will let them hire 6 new parole officers to help with the newly statewide drug courts. And there are efforts to stop contraband.
We have 2 dogs that are now actively working in our facilities with 2 dog handlers. And I have to tell you, the early reports are doing a phenomenal job on seeking out drugs.
Wren says he wants more dogs and new body scanners to try to stop the rampant smuggling. For NHPR News, I'm Emily Corwin.